Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and we thank you for your goodness. And God, we just pray that we just thank you that you are the God who stays, and we praise you for that. And I pray you'd really open our minds this morning to hear from your word, and God, to be encouraged what you're doing in our lives, how powerfully you're moving, God. And Lord, I just pray you do enlighten us this morning. I pray that each heart be open to receive of the Spirit. And I pray, Lord, you just anoint me to speak words of the Spirit. And so I just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're looking in the book of Romans. So we're going to be in Romans chapter 6 this morning. Romans chapter 6. And we'll start off with Romans chapter 6, verse 1. It says this: what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, what's happened here in chapters 1 through 5, as we've gone through that, we walk through chapters 1 through 5, we've learned in chapters 1 through 5 the theology of the Christian faith. I mean, it's wrapped up there in those first five chapters. And now, what we're going to have in chapters 6, 7, and 8 is we're going to learn how to walk in the power of Christ. Okay, now think about this. As we go through the book, and a lot of us, you know, says, oh, we, you know, we're Christians, we believe Jesus died for us, our sins are forgiven, and we just truck on with that. And that's fine, but it really does fall short in helping us deal with all sorts of problems that come up and all sorts of situations, all sorts of frustrations. Yes, we're going to go to heaven and we will be with the Lord and he'll hug us and love us and glad we're there. And he might say, if you just listened to me, it would have been a whole lot easier while you were there. Well, that's what we have here in Romans. And so, and the book is all pulled together. Again, I love, you know, I'll read the Bible and verses will pop out to me and I'll apply them and I'll put them up on the refrigerator and I'll memorize them. And that's all good. And it's, and I'm not discouraging anyone from doing that. But especially when you get in the book of Romans, that is all written and it all flows together and the whole thing is meant to paint a whole picture. You know, it's like you had a picture of, you know, your family and there's 15 of them, you know. So you just pick out one, cut out, and put them, hang them up there. You know, that's just like, well, that works, you know, but no, it really is your whole family. This is what the book of Romans is. When we look at the Bible, and we ought to look at the whole thing because it all fits together, and when it all fits together and we read it and understand, it empowers us. And we have an idea and we sense what God is doing in the world with us and everything else. And so what we have here in the first five chapters, and he's laid out so clearly, not to go over the whole thing again, he laid out in chapter 3 especially, which I said I think is one of the most important chapters in the Bible, he laid out in chapter 3 our salvation. I mean, he laid it out in detail. And I'm just going to say the word propitiation. Okay, so well, what's that? Well, then you hadn't read Romans chapter 3, because he tells us. See, but that's a clue, but that's what it is. He's telling us the power of what he did, salvation. Then he goes in chapter 4, and it's all about faith, because in chapter 3 he says, believe my faith. Chapter 4, he tells us what faith is and goes in great detail of what faith is, is and how to trust that. Then he goes into chapter 5, and he says, what are you going to have reign in your life? You're going to have, you know, you're going to reign with Christ, or you're going to reign in death? You know, and he explains that to us, and so we see what's at play here. So there it is. And so what I did, I gave messages, just kind of summarized each chapter. But you really need to read those chapters. You really need to read those chapters to get the full understanding of them. Amen? Are you with me? You need to read it. I appreciate you hear me, but if you take what I said and then read it, then you can understand it. And by the way, it is written to understand. It is written to tell us to understand. And you know what God has given us to help us understand? The Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit wrote it. He indwells us so we can understand. Amen? So the point, I think you get my point. It flows together and get the picture, and it's for us to empower. You need to read it and see it flows together so you can grab hold and have ultimate security and see what God is doing. So first chapters, theology, we got the whole thing. So that's what we got. And now, 6, 7, and 8. Now here's a little note for Bible teachers and Bible theologians. It is amazing. Volumes and volumes have been written on chapters 6, 7, and 8. Volumes, okay? And so they want to touch on this. They see the importance of it, and we're going to give an overview of what that is. So 6, 7, and 8 is how we apply chapters 1 through 5. Okay, that's how it fits. So if you just read 6, 7, 8, you don't know what you're applying. 1 through 5, well, that's the theology. Now 6, 7, and 8, this is how you apply it. This is how you live out the Christian life. This is how you walk in the power of God. Chapters 6, 7, and 8. So y'all ready for 6, 7, and 8? Now, chapter 6, I'm going to summarize these for you. Chapter 6, and this is important. Chapter 6, we have the first five chapters. Chapter 6 is this. Make a decision. Just write that atop the chapter. Then you'll know what chapter 6 is about. It's make a decision. And that's us. You have chapters 1 through 5. You have the theology. Now chapter 6, make a decision. You got to do something. Oh God, no, not me. You make a decision. And then you want chapter 7? I love chapter 7. Chapter 7 is, this ain't working out like I thought it would. I mean, this is harder than I thought. Oh my gosh, I try to do this and I'm doing this and I'm doing the same thing I always did. Oh, so there's a frustration in chapter 7. I praise God for chapter 7 because it explains when I go, Lord, I'm just having issues here. He said, yeah, that's right. That comes when you make a decision. See, I think a lot of people don't have issues because they never make a decision. There's no issue because they didn't make a decision. They never made a commitment. Oh, man, I'm struggling with that. I'm trying. I'm in chapter 7. The other people that hadn't made a decision in chapter 6, hey, I'm sailing. I ain't got any problems because they didn't make any decisions. You see what I'm saying? So if someone tells me they're not struggling, I say, you never made a decision, have you? See? It's universal. So don't come up and tell me you're not struggling. You're either lying or you hadn't read any. You hadn't made any decisions. Y'all with me? So make a decision, chapter 6. Chapter 7, we struggle. Chapter 8. You can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. There it is. Do you see how it fits together? Chapter 8, really detailed view of the Holy Spirit and how you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, what we want to do is put chapter 8 before chapter 6. I'm going to walk in the power of God and not make any decisions. God, you do it. Why is this happening? You should change everything. And God's going, go to chapter 6 first. You need to make a decision first. All right? Because I can't help you when you jump to chapter 8. You have to make a decision. Amen? And then when you make the decision, we're going, praise Jesus, I made a decision. You step out here, and then like, oh my gosh, this is way tougher than I thought. Chapter 7, oh God, I'm all over the place. Now, can't we relate to that? See? And that's good. That's it. Because that means you made a decision in chapter 6, so you're on your way there. We're in chapter 7. And then he gives us chapter 8. Here's the power, how this will work through you, and the power of how you can carry it out. See how important chapter 8 is? Now, this is why it is. This is important. 6, 7, and 8. So, we want to look this morning at chapter 6. Chapter 6 is make a decision. Now, chapter 6 reveals that we need to make a decision for Christ each and every day. Oh, that's a killer. I accepted Christ, I'm done. Not quite. You have to make a decision every day. Okay, then chapter 7 reveals that once we made the decision for Christ, we will struggle to do what we intended. Chapter 8 reveals that it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to live out to the decision we made. Now, in chapter 6, it's our responsibility to make a decision. Make a decision. So now we look at verse 1, at the statement, how this opens up. Look at verse 1. It's amazing. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? I'm going to ask you. Are you to continue in sin that grace may abound? And he's asking the question. See, now that's how he starts chapter 6, after asking that question. Now, what's interesting here, and we should really take note of this, this is the natural conclusion to chapters 1 through 5. Think about this. Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? Think about it. This is the natural statement at the end of chapters 1 through 5. Because what did we learn from 1 through 5? I'm forgiven. What I do in the future, what I did in the past, what I've done, I am totally forgiven for everything. Everything is wiped out. Everything is a gift to me. I have to do nothing to earn it. That's what chapters 1 through 5 says. We're totally free. We're totally forgiven. We say, well, man, we can just sin so grace can abound. If you really understand chapters 1 through 5, this is what you'll think. Now listen to what I said. If you understand chapters 1 through 5, this is what you think. Well, I can do anything. I'm forgiven. I'm going to ask you, are you? Yes. Is everything wiped away? Yes. Do you have to do something to earn your salvation? No. It's like I can do anything and nothing's held against me. I can just do it and the grace will just abound. That's what this says. See? The natural. That's how you can tell somebody's really saved. That means I can do anything? It's like, oh my gosh. Because they realize the gift. So this is what Paul's addressing here. And so we want to look at this and think, oh my goodness. Now, so this is why some, and this is important to know this, this is why some Bible teachers, believing Bible teachers, dispute abundant grace. They call it hyper grace, or they call it permissive grace, or they call it a license to sin. They will. We say, well, no, you can't do that. That's too much grace. That's too much grace. But when you read the whole Bible, taken in context, we see, in fact, that abundant grace releases the power of God through the Holy Spirit. You with me? Through the Holy Spirit. Now, certainly, we fall short and sin, but our life will not be dominated by continuing habitual sin. Therefore, Paul is calling on us to make a decision. Christ or sin? Chapter 6. You need to make a decision. You're free. Now make a decision. In your freedom, now make a decision. Where are the rules? There are no rules. You make a decision. For Christ or for sin? It's on you. See? And so we see that Also, this decision is not a continuous decision over individual sins. Like, okay, I shouldn't do that. Okay, I shouldn't do that. Okay. Oh, that's okay. That's a miserable way to live. I mean, maybe some truth to that, but that's not what this is talking about. What it's talking about is an inner attitude about Christ. That's what it's talking about. It's really an inner, I want to follow Jesus. I want to do what Jesus has to say. And we have our eyes focused on Jesus and we follow Jesus. There's just certain stuff we don't do. There's just certain stuff we do do. It's just because we focus that we made a decision for Jesus in our actions. There's a decision and we're carrying it out in our actions. Amen? Now, to understand chapter 6, I'm going to give you a helpful interpretive insight. Okay? Now, I'm going to say this was really helpful for me. You may not have the same struggle that I did. Okay, because what you'll see through here in chapter 6, which just drove me crazy, and understand, it goes, don't follow sin, don't live a life for sin, that's kind of like, that's like spitting on the sidewalk. That's a sin. You can't do nothing. It's like you're freezing up. What does that mean? See, I had trouble with it. And then what the Lord showed me, it's like, no, it's not just individual actions we're talking about. When a life of sin was taught. And so what I learned is that whenever you see sin, the word sin, in chapter 6, you need to write, in chapter 6, this will help you read it. It will help you read it and understand and apply it where we can understand. Or I should apply it where I can understand. So every place in chapter 6 where you see the word sin, write the word self. S-E-L-F. And all of a sudden, oh, that makes sense. Kind of sin is like, everything is like self. Oh, just my selfish attitude. So when you see sin, write the word self. By doing so, it will help capture the overall meaning of sin in which God's talking about and what sin is. Do not live to self or for self or in the power of self. Okay, that's what that means. Oh, sin. What's your list? What's your list? What's your list? And what's your list? And it's like, I don't know whose list I'm looking at, And they're all reading the Bible. Well, no, it doesn't mean, it means self. Don't live to your selfishness. Don't be motivated by yourself. And that covers the meaning of that. Now, God being really smart, he put a verse in chapter 6 that explains it. All right? And look, I want you to look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6. And this helps explain why you would use self in the place of sin. And Romans 6, 6. We know that our old self. Now, what's our old self? You know full well what your old self was. Okay? Old self, what you did for yourself. Okay? We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin, what word are we going to put in there? Self. In order that the body of self might be brought to nothing. So you go, that the body of sin will be brought to nothing. And what people, well, the body of sin is brought to nothing, and I should never want to sin. I shouldn't have these feelings. I shouldn't have these problems. I shouldn't go through chapter 7 if sin has been done away with. Well, it is. Know that the body of self may be brought to nothing. Sin, your selfishness motivated by self. You see? So there's a verse explaining that. Okay? Now, using the word self reveals our inward motivation. Thus, we see that sin and self are both the opposite of faith. See, we're dealing not rules. No, we're talking about that sin and self are the opposite of faith. Now, we can look at Romans 14:23. Romans 14:23 says this, and this should be a killer. I remember when I first read this, I said, you got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me, Lord. Romans 14:23 says this, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. I mean, I just get up in the morning, I'm covered in sin before I get to the bathroom. What in the, I mean, that's whatever does not proceed from faith is sin or self. If it doesn't proceed from what God has shown you, faith, it's sin. You're doing stuff on your own without God showing you, and it's just sin. You see what I'm saying? Everybody take a big breath. It's like, oh my gosh. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. God is saying, you know, I'm in every part of your life. I'm not kind of on the shelf in the kitchen. I'm permeating every cell in your body, and that is the focus. Are you not? You're not there. You're not there. Now, living for self is sin. Christians should not be motivated by self, but by the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us. In a situation, are we saying the love of Christ is controlling me? If we're in any relationship, are we saying the love of Christ is controlling me? Are you disciplining your kids? Is the love of Christ controlling you? In a relationship with your spouse, is the love of Christ controlling you? By the way, if it's not faith, it's sin. I'm just going to kind of jump in with you. Isn't the standard, God's standard, like way up here? I mean, I'm looking at this, and I say, holy cow, I need Jesus. Whatever it says, I just need Jesus. His standard is not just be good. His standard be committed with me and have me permeate your very being, that I'm the most important thing in your life. Amen? That's what he's saying. And we're in chapter 6. Make a decision. That's the way you got to make a decision. You make a decision. Now, are y'all ready to look at Romans 6, verse 1 again? Okay, we're ready to go through chapter 6. I love long introductions. Okay. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Make a decision. Paul reacts in horror to the thought that we should continue to sin so that grace may abound. He says, God forbid. You got to be kidding me. That's what he says. I mean, it's a natural conclusion to chapters 1 through 5 because, wait a minute. So chapter 6, 1 through 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin? Continue in sin? Shall we continue in self that grace may abound? Verse 2, by no means. One of the translations says, God forbid. By no means. How can we who died to sin, to self, live in it? Now look at this logic he's using. Do this, don't do this, here's the list. He's going, what are you talking about? How in the world we've died to sin, we've died to self, how can you live in it? You've been in this pile of manure covered from head to toe and you get washed off. How can you go back and stand in it? That's what he's saying. How can you do that? And he's kind of saying, what? I just thought, I can use children. They come in, you look at them, you tell them they come in, they've done what they, you look at, how could you do that? How? Tell me how. Right? That's what God's doing. He goes, how can you do that? I don't understand that. Whose child are you? You see what I'm saying? That's what God got. Whose child are you? All right. So this is where we are. So why do we not live in sin or self? Now here's why don't we do it? Because Christ lives for God. Therefore, we should live for God. Now you see, you have to pull Jesus into this equation. He was a real, last week, he's a man. He lived for God. See? And since he did it, we ought to do it. I mean, just motivation. We ought to do it. That's the motivation. Now, I want you to look at something. And these verses that you go, look a little cumbersome, but they have a lot to say. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 10 through 11. It says this, for the death Jesus died. Jesus died on the cross. For the death Jesus died, he died to sin, self, any self-motivation, anything else. He died to self. Self is no longer operative in any way. For the death Jesus died, he died to sin. Now we know it's our sin, but he died to sin. Once and for all, done. I mean, it's done. Jesus died to sin, once and for all. He didn't have to die again. It's finished. But the life Jesus lives, he lives to God. That's where he is. The life he's living. This is, he ended up right where he wanted to be. We'll end up right where he is. And the life he lives now, he lives to God. Now, he lived as a man before, but now he's before the Lord. He died for sin, and he's living totally to God in a resurrected body. Y'all with me? I mean, that's just what Jesus did. This is real important. Okay? You with me? Died to sin. Life he lives to God. We think, wow. Verse 11. So you also. That's a bummer. So you also. So because of verse 10, so you also must consider. Look closely at that word. Important word. C-O-N-S-I-D-E-R. The old King James was, he had a country word for that. He called it reckon. He really did. He said reckon. It means reckon. So you must reckon. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin. Oh, now what's that mean? Which rule I have to follow? No, what word are we going to put there? You must consider yourself dead to what? Self. Oh. So you also must consider, what are you doing? You just made a decision. In your head, you've made a decision. You must consider yourselves dead to self and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You consider, you make a decision in your head, I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to God. You made a decision. Okay, we're going to get to chapter 7. But right here, you got to make a decision before you get to chapter 7. People don't make this decision, so they never get to chapter 7. You see what I'm saying? Powerful. I mean, you must consider. We must consider, make a decision, and act on it. Chapter 6. Make a decision and act on it. That's you. That's totally you. Well, Jesus, that's you. Well, the Holy Spirit. No, that's you. The devil maybe. No, that's you. You see, right there. So, consider means to make the fact operative in one's life. We decide. To charge, to consider oneself dead to sin, but alive to God, is in the present tense in the Greek. Now, that's important. You would never know that. It's in the present tense in the Greek. Indicating the necessity to keep deciding. I made a decision for Christ. I'm done going to heaven. Okay, maybe. You're going to have hell on earth with no power. Because you have to consider present tense in the Greek, indicating the necessity to keep on deciding every day. You have to keep on deciding. Dead to self, alive to God. Boom! Dead to self, alive to God. See what I'm saying? That's what it says. Keep on deciding. And you have to keep on deciding to avoid reactivating the body of self. You reactivate. We reactivate self. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what they say. This doesn't make me feel good. No, they made me mad. Hmm. No, you're... Okay, react. Dead. See, if you're dead to self, they insulted me. Who cares? I'm dead. Didn't hurt. Well, you know, he's laying on the floor. Kick him. He can't feel it. He's dead. You know, dead. Oh, they hurt my feelings. Oh, they don't love me anymore. I'm dead to self, but I'm alive to God. In your head, you got to make the decision. Now, we'll talk about chapter 7 next week. But God, this is hard, and I really don't like them. Okay, but that's not, you made the decision. You're having some struggles, okay? But you got to make the decision. I can't help you unless you make the decision. And you're going to have some struggles. And in 2 weeks, we'll get to chapter 8. You see what I'm saying? That's what this is saying. It's really powerful what this is saying, how it presents it here. And that we reactivate our flesh. Now, y'all don't have to answer. Have you ever gone along and say, I've been cool. I've dealt with these sins and I'm going on. And something will happen and it activated. Oh, I must be terrible. No, you're human. It's time to make a decision. And say, Holy Spirit, take me where I need to be. See, that's what he's telling. He's telling us how to do this. So that we're not, oh God, you know, I failed you. And no, you failed me before we started. The reason I came is because you're a constant failure. See, it's me. It's me that's taken care of. All right. So, the Christian is very interesting. He's dead and alive at the same time. Dead and alive at the same time. We are dead to sin and self, but alive and responsive to God, working at the same time. Now, all this is activated by our personal decision. Personal decision. Did y'all know something? That our problems are our personal decision. I mean, I've always found something consistent in all my problems. Always. And it's me. It's just like, you know what? Okay, now here's a verse. Now this is fascinating. We get down to the point, and here's the decision making. The decision making. You ready for the decision? This is us. This is not, oh God, no, this is us. You know, you go to the service station, you pull up, you know, the gas pump, you sit in the car and go, God, fill my car. You know, come on, put your card in. No, you put the card in. No, take the hose. No, you get it. It's cold outside. No, you got to get it. I put the card in, put things. You can do it. This one, it's decision. Christian life. He said, do it. It's your decision. It's you. It is you. Romans 6, verse 12. Now listen to this. Look how it starts out. Let not. Now who's responsible for let not? Is God responsible for let not? No. We are responsible for let not. You got to make a decision. Let not. Let not what? Sin. What word do we put in place of sin? Let not self. It's telling us, this is a to-do. A lot of men especially, they want a to-do. This is a to-do verse right here, to-do. Let not self, sin, self, therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. What about life and the passions and the temptations? He goes, yeah? So what? Let not self, therefore, reign. Don't let self reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. That's on you. Amen? That's what's let not. I mean, does anybody need an interpretation for let not? Okay? They're talking to your children. Let not. You know, they don't need interpretation. May not listen, but they don't need interpretation. Okay, so let not. Verse 13. I said for chapter 6, verse 12. It's 12 and 13. Okay, let not self, therefore, reign. Now, do you see why I say put self in the place of sin? Let not sin reign. Well, what's that? No, let not self. Okay, I know what that is. Self is sin. Let not self reign. Reign, control your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. But don't do that. It's on you. 13. Do not present your members. Now, we good? Do not. Here's your darling little son. Do not present your members and smack your little sister. Don't do that. Don't use your members to smack your sister. You know, I mean, they get it. God is saying, don't present your members. What's he talking about? Self. Us. Do not present your members to self. You see what I'm saying? Do not present your members to sin. Do not present your members to self as instruments. I mean, this is deep theology, isn't it? Don't present your members as instruments. You know, I'm going to haul off with my arm and my fist and smack you in the face. That is presenting my members as an instrument to hit you in the head. I mean, I said, don't do that. Do not present your members to self as instruments for unrighteousness. Don't do it. Don't do your body for evil stuff. Don't walk up and smack somebody. Don't walk up and dress somebody down with your tongue. You know? They're mean. Don't tell them they're mean. Okay? Let God reveal to them. Yeah? Do not present your members to self as instruments for unrighteousness. But. And that word is in the original. But. Contrast. Counter. But make this decision. Present yourselves. What? Present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to light, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. There, I mean, how clear can you get? I love the Kovacs home group, and they take food to some of the people who can't afford it and stuff. They present themselves and their members to pick up food and take it to people and give it to them. See, that's what you're supposed to do. Pick it up. You don't sit in the car. Okay, we'll just pray about them getting food. We'll pray about thinking about it, helping them. We'll pray. No, this is what I'm telling you, to present your members to God, to what God tells you. God, who've been brought from death to life, your members is instruments. Amen. I know I'm just beating this to death, but people act like Christians will just say, well, God didn't. Well, God did. God should do this. And I pray. No, God said, you make a decision. He said, I got this thing going. I need you to make a decision to work through you. Do something. Amen? So this is what this is all about. Members, instruments. So make a decision. Let not self reign. Do not present your members as instruments to self. Present yourselves and your members as instruments to God. Make a decision. We want to work towards chapter 7, where we got some problems. Make some decisions now. Okay, a mental decision is involved whether we walk controlled by God or walk controlled by the Spirit. People controlled by the Spirit have made a mental decision. When we get to chapter 8, we will see that when we make a decision and set our mind on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will empower us. Oh, God, help me move. Make a decision and I'll move. You see what I'm saying? Make a decision and I'll move. Now, but here we are in chapter 6, and we just need to make a decision. Now, and consider it true. Now, I always like to watch this when I read this. The Apostle Paul repeats what he just said. So that makes me feel really good, because I always repeat what I just said. So I feel like I'm in good company. If he repeated, I can repeat it. So this is how he repeated it. Now he's going to repeat the same thing. Verse 12, he presents it in verse 19, Romans 6, 19. Paul helps us now. He's helping us. He wants us to understand this so bad, so he's going to tell us in human terms. He really wants to help us. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. He starts out, I am speaking in human terms. I'm trying. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. He didn't say you're dumb as a post, but he did say because of your natural limitations, I'm going to speak in human terms. Now, what does he say? Now, he's going to come home to each one of us, and each one of us are going to go, yep, I know. For, it says, continuing in verse 19, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. Now, what did he just say there? Just as you once presented your members as slaves to all sorts of sin and to yourself. You know what he's saying there? You know how to do this. You already done it once. That's how you always lived your life. You presented your members as slaves to all sorts of sin and to self. He's saying, you know, so I'm just letting him, he's saying, you know how to do this because you've been doing it your whole life. For just as you once presented your members as slaves. You know, you're a slave. You bought into this. As slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, which led to more lawlessness. It never ended, did it? Taste and you just did more. Taste and you did. It never stops. Sin never stops. I'll just do this and stop. No. Next and that. 20 years down the road, oh my God, you never dreamed that that person would be like they are. But it's because of an early sin that they just continued to feed. Amen? For, just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now. Okay, so now. You've done this stuff now. So now, present your members. See, you did present your members. So now, in the future, present your members as slaves, just like you were a slave to sin and self, present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. To doing right, and sanctification means just being separated from the world. Make a decision. Just like you did in the past, make the same decision, but for God. Now, you know how to make the decision and present your members. Now make that similar decision for God now. I'm telling you, I don't know how to do it. Make a decision like you did in the past. Make it for God now. Don't give me this, you don't know how. Amen? I mean, I can tell you, me, Christian, well, I don't know how. I just can't. They never made a decision. I'm trying to put it off on me or put it off on God. Actually, they're trying to put it off on God. He's just not working for me. He's just not doing it for me. He's just not there. I've never made a decision. I'm trying to fool you. I'm trying to fool everybody else. I'm really trying to fool God. And I'm not going to make a decision for God because I'm into myself. That's what they're really saying. You see what I'm saying? And so it's all right here. So here we have, in human terms, remember how we made decisions in the past and presented our members as slaves to self. So now we know how to do it. Therefore, now, in the same way, present our members as slaves to God. Now, notice the word slaves. Well, this time, maybe, and kind of half-hearted. No, you're a slave. You're bought. Been bought by sin, bought by God. You present it to who owns you. You present yourself to who owns you. Our decisions own us. How did I get here? Your decisions. And your decisions own you, and you're going to suffer the consequence for your decisions. And God didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't have anything to do with it. Nothing. It's you. It's your decisions. You see what I'm saying? And so, here we are. We are free. We are not under the law. Therefore, make a decision. We know full well that the wages of self and sin. I'm going to do what I want to. The full wages of sin and self is death. You will die spiritually immediately. You will die, suffer the consequences in the future. It's going to happen. You know that because God's told you. Know full well that the wages of self is death. So make a decision for Christ and live productively. See, when, oh, it's a sin. And you don't think, well, it's a sin and I serve Christ. Or, no, it's a sin or Christ. It's either. And take this decision to self and sin, and it's going to lead to total destruction for you and everyone around you. Or you make the decision for Christ and not for self, and you receive the reign of God's life in you and everybody else around you. And it's right here in chapter, it's your decision. Don't blame God for your decision. Amen? Our decisions own us. Romans 6:23. So stinking powerful. For the wages of sin, the wages of self, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know when eternal life starts? Today. Not tomorrow. It starts today. Eternal life starts now for all eternity. Eternal life. You know when death starts? Now. In your life. It starts now. It'll culminate. Eternal life starts now. It'll culminate. But he's telling the people now that are living and breathing and functioning and making decisions. Amen. Make a decision. Our decision. Live a life independent of God and receive the wages of death, or present our members as instruments of God for life. And God, and this is the example. It did it in Romans here. And God gave us an example how you do this. Just what Jesus did. Jesus gave his life for us. And he said, just make a decision. He did it because now make it. Look what I did. Just make a decision. It's just him. And look at the words. Your passions are my life. You see, that's what he's saying. It's, you're making an eternal decisions. Your passions are my life. Your self-interest are my interest. One goes to death, one is for eternity. Hallelujah. And in John 3:16 makes all the sense in the world. Jesus gave his life for us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He means us to have eternal life now. But we refuse to have a life for him. We want to go the way of our passions and be destroyed in this life by those passions. Oh, we'll get to heaven. Again, my verse in 1 Corinthians, he says, some of you are going to get there just like going through a fire. It's just you. You know, I gave you this terrible picture of me. I'm going to get to heaven. I probably just have my underwear on, but I got there. You know, that's because of bad decisions. You see? That's what it is. Because, see, now you'll get there, but I'm going to burn everything up. Just waste. Just waste. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, it is, make a decision. You put it here in all the things in our Christian life and our questions we have. And you're just saying, make a decision for me. Jesus said, make a decision for me. That's all in you. It's not this, that, or the other. No, just make it that you got to say, make a decision for me. Make a decision for Jesus who loved you, who died for you, who paid the penalty for all your sins, that you may be totally clean and washed and purified before him. That's what Jesus has done. He said, now make a decision. I've done that for you. Believe on me and be forgiven. And now look to me, and in human terms, walk after me. Walk for me. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.